Thanks for listening to the History Buff podcast with your resident history buff and Berlin tour guide, Arty. If you're enjoying the podcast, then you can really, really help us by liking and sharing the episodes on social media and rating the podcast on your streaming platform. If you'd like to see more History Buff content, then please give us a follow on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Links are in the show notes. Thank you for your support. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the History Buff. It's Arty here, your Berlin-based tour guide with a passion for history. It's certainly been a while, but I was very busy this summer with tours, but I'm back. And from now on, I'm going to be focusing a lot more on the podcast and have lots of exciting episodes that I am looking forward to sharing with you in the coming months. You might have noticed that we have some new artwork now, and this was done by my very talented twin sister, Lila. She will also be creating a piece of artwork for every episode, so do check out her work. I will put her Instagram and website in the show notes. But without further ado, let's get started with the newest episode, which will be the third episode in the mini-series about Ukraine's history, Ukraine's story, and this episode will be about the Cossacks. In this third part of this mini-series on Ukraine's story as a nation, I was going to talk about the Polish-Lithuanian era of Ukraine's history. However, I decided I first wanted to dedicate a whole episode to a group of people who had a profound influence on Ukraine's national identity, and who I mentioned briefly in the previous episode, the Cossacks. The Cossacks were a group of semi-militarized, self-governing communities of fiercely independent nomadic people in the borderlands of Eastern Europe, known for their defense of Ukrainian territories, distinct cultural practices, and contributions to the development of Ukrainian identity. This episode will focus purely on introducing you to the Cossacks, their origins, societal structure, and various impacts they had on the development of Ukrainian culture and society. In the next episodes, which will focus on the next eras of Ukraine's history, I will refer back to the Cossacks and their involvement in each of these next eras. The term Cossack comes from the Turkish word Kazak, which means free man. In his work, History of Ukraine Rus, the famous historian Mykhailo Hurushevsky refers to Turkish sources and states that Cossacks were lightly armed soldiers of the lowest category. In general, the modern history of Ukraine defines a Cossack as a free armed person. Their origins are disputed, but most scholars agree that they were a multi-ethnic group formed from nomadic tribes, as well as from burghers, peasants, and escaped serfs who fled to the steppe. It's difficult to pinpoint the exact point in history that they came about, as their formation as a people and culture was gradual and evolved over time, but generally we can say that their origins date back to around the 15th century. The Cossacks evolved into a tough, militarized people who earned their living through war and various crafts, such as fishing, hunting, and agriculture. The enduring mythology of the Cossacks paints them as semi-nomadic, semi-militarized bandits. The first references of the Cossacks appear at the end of the 15th century, and their fame spread throughout Europe over the next 100 years. The most famous Ukrainian Cossack tribe was the Zaporizhian Cossacks, which lived around the lower bends of the Dnipro River, near Ukraine's most fertile agricultural lands. It was centered on the Zaporizhian Zich, Zich being the Ukrainian word for chop, or clearing, and was essentially the military and administrative center of the Zaporizhian Cossacks. The Zaporizhian Zich came to be a semi-autonomous polity and proto-state, and is often seen as an early precursor to the Ukrainian state. In this episode, we will be talking exclusively about the Cossacks of the Zaporizhian Zich. The Cossacks were essentially a society unto themselves, developing their own customs and social structure. Being semi-military in nature, there was a distinct hierarchy within their communities. At the top of this hierarchy, you had what was called the Hetman. The Hetman was the highest-ranking Cossack in the community and was usually elected to the position by a council of other high-ranking or respected Cossacks. The Hetman had significant authority and made important decisions for their respective communities, led military campaigns, negotiated with external powers, and maintained order within the community. Then you had Cossack officers, known as Starshina in Ukrainian. These were officers who held leadership roles within the Cossack military. They commanded troops, enforced discipline, and assisted the hetman in administrative tasks. They also acted as advisors to the hetman. Then you had the bulk of the Cossack population, which were the regular Cossacks. These were divided into registered and non-registered Cossacks. The registered Cossacks were people who went into the service of the Polish king Sigismund II, who issued a union in 1572 to create a register for the Cossacks to keep them under his control. Registered Cossacks had certain privileges and exemptions from jurisdictions. In turn, non-registered Cossacks were deprived of privileges and were subject only to the hetman. It is very important to separate them because in certain periods in Ukraine's history, they were actually on different sides during certain conflicts. They were often skilled warriors and were instrumental in military campaigns and the defense of the community. They participated in the decision-making process of their respective communities through various assemblies. Next, you had junior Cossacks, who were usually younger members of the community, who had not completed their training or had simply not yet attained full Cossack status. They were known as Dzura and usually played the role of an assistant and squire. They were expected to serve under the guidance of the more experienced Cossacks until they gained enough experience to become fully fledged warriors. You also had Cossack women who, whilst not being mentioned so much in historical records, had important roles within the community. They managed households, participated in trade and agriculture, and sometimes even took part in the defense of the community when it was under attack. However, Cossack women were not allowed to join the Cossack Sich, which was the armed camp on the Lower Dnipro, where the Cossacks were centered. The women were not even allowed to live there. They could only participate in military campaigns or defensive operations. However, this was not out of disrespect to the women, quite the opposite. It's because the Cossacks held women in high regard for their family obligations. Then you had the free peasants and non-Cossack residents. These were people who were attracted to the Cossack way of life or who were attracted by the idea of a militarized lifestyle. They could be integrated into the Cossack social structure but not necessarily have the same privileges as those born into Cossack families. You also had people who just provided services to the Cossacks, such as tradespeople and craftsmen. These people wouldn't be given the same level of autonomy as full Cossacks, but they were important for the functioning of the community. Now, the way that Cossack children were brought up and educated is also extremely interesting. So, the father played a prominent role in a Cossack child's development from a young age. It was he who, as head of the family, shaped children's consciousness and virtues and prepared them for further training in the Sich. Despite the fact that the father was a role model for the younger generation, the Cossack family remained democratic. Therefore, the mother's word was no less important than the father's. The mother taught her children folklore, fairy tales, songs, fables, and legends. Later, old, experienced Cossacks continued the family educational traditions in law schools at schools that were specially formed at the Sich. There, Dzuras, the young Cossacks, were taught singing, music, and other arts at a high level. They also mastered Latin, arithmetic, rhetoric, geometry, geography, astronomy, and military science. Latin was studied as the language of international relations and the language of science at the time. Latin was also used in polemics, in the struggle against Catholicization. The main teacher was a hero monk, an Eastern Orthodox priest, who also served as a guardian and a doctor. He reported everything about his young charges in detail to the Kosh Ataman, the elected leader of the Zaporizhian Cossacks. Anyone who wanted to become a Cossack had to serve as a lawyer for 3 years in advance before then learning to use weapons and survive in extreme conditions. Dzuras lived in huts with adults and studied at Sich schools at the same time. The time spent studying in a Sich school was not strictly regulated. It all depended on the young man's ability to learn and their capability in military affairs. They could enter the school only at the age of 9. It turns out that education in Sich schools was not absolutely free. In addition to Sich schools, there were schools at churches and monasteries. They taught literacy, prayers, the law of God, and writing. The Cossacks' role in defending Ukrainian land has always been a core part of their existence. They lived on the borderland regions of Ukraine, which were vulnerable to external threats from neighboring powers such as the Ottoman Empire and the Crimean Tatars. The Cossacks were the first line of defense against invasions and raids, their military skills and knowledge of the terrain coming in particularly useful in protecting their communities from these various threats. The military expertise of the Cossacks is widely documented. They were tough, skilled warriors that were trained in horse riding, archery, and other combat techniques. They were particularly effective in waging guerrilla warfare, which is usually where a smaller defending army takes on a larger, more cumbersome invading army. Because of their semi-nomadic lifestyle and their combat readiness, they were able to mobilize very quickly and respond to threats. This agility was key to their prowess as warriors and defenders. Cossacks also participated in larger military campaigns and conflicts of the time. They allied themselves with different powers, including neighboring states and empires, to defend their territories and interests. The contribution of the Cossacks was particularly significant in conflicts such as the Russo-Turkish Wars, which were a series of wars fought between the Russian and Ottoman empires between the 16th and 20th centuries, and also the Khmelnytsky Uprising, which ended Polish-Lithuanian dominance in Ukraine, and which I will talk about in more detail in the next episode, which will be about the Polish-Lithuanian era of Ukraine's history. The Cossacks were also good at constructing defensive structures like fortifications and military outposts, which enhanced their ability to repel attackers. As I mentioned at the start, the bastion of the Zaporizhian Cossacks was centered on the fortified islands on the Dnipro River, called the Zaporizhian Sich. They would also protect non-Cossack peasant communities living in the same territory as them. These peasants felt safe with Cossacks near, as their presence offered a level of security which made them less likely to be targeted by raiders and invading armies. But it's not just their military prowess for which they are remembered. The Cossacks have left an indelible mark on Ukrainian culture and history, shaping the nation's identity in profound ways. From the 15th to 18th centuries, these semi-militarized communities inhabited the borderlands of Eastern Europe, defending their territories against external threats and forging a sense of unity among Ukrainians. Their impact on Ukrainian culture is evident in various aspects. Cossack culture breathed life into the Ukrainian language, encouraging its use in literature, songs, and daily communication. Their enduring struggle for autonomy and identity inspired poets and writers, infusing Ukrainian folk music and dance with tales of heroism. Their historical significance is woven into the very fabric of the nation's consciousness, with events like the Khmelnytsky Uprising and the establishment of the Hetmanates serving as defining moments in Ukrainian history. Monuments and memorials dedicated to the Cossack leaders and battles are scattered across Ukraine, keeping their memory alive. The Cossack ethos of independence, valor, and self-sacrifice continues to resonate in discussions of national unity and freedom. From cultural traditions to tourism, Cossack-related sites and artifacts preserve the physical and cultural heritage of these valiant defenders. This legacy endures as an integral part of Ukraine's cultural tapestry, echoing through time in language, art, historical memory, and a steadfast national identity. Given all this, it should come as no surprise that in the tragedy and horror brought forth by Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine in 2022, the Cossack stands tall as an emblem of unwavering resolve and boundless bravery. Just as the Cossacks defended their territories and communities with indomitable spirit, today's Ukrainians draw strength from this iconic legacy, using it as a beacon to guide them through these tumultuous times. The Cossack's image is not merely a relic of the past, It has seamlessly transcended time to stand as a living symbol of the unbreakable will and the unyielding flame of freedom of Ukraine and of Ukrainians. In the face of adversity, the Cossack spirit fuels the fire of Ukrainian resistance and resilience, reminding Ukraine and the world that the pursuit of freedom knows no bounds. That's all for now, but join me next time as we discuss the next era of Ukraine's history, the Polish-Lithuanian era. As always, thank you very much for listening. See you next time. Goodbye.